does anyone find it interesting that in that text that Eric read, you have a woman who was plagued with a sickness for 12 years, and a little girl of 12 years old who had fallen dead. The entire life of that little girl, that woman had been sick. Serving God, serving people. When we first, when my family first moved to Louisville, and I was a freshman in high school, me and my brother and my sister, we were accustomed to road trips taking a little longer. Because if there was somebody broken down, Dad was going to stop. Dad was going to help. But there was one occasion. Dad was working third shift. He'd gotten off of work. And there was a car in December. Cold, snowy, icy roads. Car broken down. Late at night, there's nothing that can be done. So Dad loads up husband, wife, and baby in our vehicle. We get up for school the next morning. Mom's like, "Need to be quiet. We've got visitors." Okay, we're used to Memo, Papa, aunts, uncles, whatever. No, these are strangers. Serving God and serving people is not just about serving the folks in your own family or even the folks in your own church family. When we read of hospitality in the scriptures, it's not hospitality between folks in the same household or folks in the same congregation. It's hospitality to strangers. To that young couple. Broke down on the side of the interstate. On a cold winter's evening. And they've got a small baby. There's nowhere else that they can go. It's often been said that the local church is the only institution that exists for those who are not here. We as a church don't just meet for worship. We meet to be the hands and feet of Jesus here in Brazil's. What does God say about serving God and serving people? God has a lot to say. And specifically here in Joshua 21, in which we see the Levites, that specific tribe of Israel, who had been set apart for the task of serving God and serving people. Below this text, we see the cities for the Levites, the Kohathites first, the rest of the Kohathites, Gershon, all together, and the rest. Joshua chapter 21, beginning in verse 1. The family leaders of the Levites approached Eleazar, the priest, Joshua, son of Nun, and the family leaders of the Israelite tribes. In Shiloh, the land of Canaan, they said to them, "Through Moses, the law commanded that we be given cities in which to live, grazing lands for our livestock." So according to the word of the Lord out of their inheritance, the children of Israel gave the Levites these cities and their grazing lands. The lot came out for the clans of the Kohathites. So the Levites, who were descendants of Aaron, received an allotment of 13 cities from the tribe of Judah, Simeon, and Benjamin. The remaining descendants of Kohath received an allotment of 10 cities from the clans of the tribes of Ephraim, Dan, and the half-tribe of Manasseh. The descendants of Gershon received an allotment of 13 cities from the clans of the tribes of Issachar, Asher, Naphtali, the half-tribe of Manasseh, and Bashan. Descendants of Merari by their clans received an allotment of 12 cities from the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and Zebulun. The children of Israel allotted the Levites these cities and their grazing lands as the Lord commanded through Moses. As we go to the Lord in prayer, consider those words, as the Lord commanded through Moses. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you. We thank you for this tribe, this people within a people, who were set apart for the service to you and to your people. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us together as a local church, as a people within a people. We're not the only church. There are other churches around this land, Hill Creek Baptist Church, Elizabeth Town Reformed Baptist, Remnant Reformed Baptist, Cornerstone Reformed Baptist. We love you, we praise you, we worship you. Who worship as you dictate in your word. Who have a realization of the grace whereby you save us. Lord, we pray that we would not fall into the error of just hiding behind our walls, of just cloistering ourselves, sequestering ourselves. But that we would be a kingdom people, a commissioned people, a people who recognize that we exist for the sake of those who are not part of us yet. That we would go out into the highways and the byways and compel men to come in, that your house might be full. We pray this in your name. The division of the land is complete. We saw that 2 Sundays ago. There were 12 sons of Jacob. But one son gets no allotment. Another son, Joseph, gets a double allotment. But today we're looking at that one son who gets no allotment. They don't get a large tract of land of their own. Rather, they get cities within the areas of the other tribes. They are to exist amongst the other tribes. Did you catch that as we read through these 8 verses? All the 11 tribes are mentioned. The Levites are to exist within them. the low-hanging fruit is that the people were to support the priesthood. But as I brought out before in our study of this book of Joshua, this is about incarnation. The fact that the Levites are given cities amongst the other tribes points forward to the Word who became flesh and dwelt among us. To the one of whom we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Levites, those set apart to serve God and serve people, are to be a people full of grace and truth. They're to point, ironically, to our great high priest who doesn't come from the tribe of Levi. Our great high priest, after the order of Melchizedek, their inheritance is an inheritance of scatter. All the other 11 tribes can coalesce. All the other 11 tribes can be held together. But the tribe of Levi's inheritance is to be scattered. In agriculture, if you've got a pile of manure, you've just got something that stinks. But if you spread out manure, things grow. The Levites are spread out so that the people of Israel can grow. Or as Jesus said, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. No man takes a light, takes a lamp, and sets it under a bushel, but he sets it up high, so it gives light to all who are in the room. These cities given to the Levites are those cities on a hill. These cities given to the Levites are those lights that are not to be hidden under a bushel, but are to be set high so that the people in the room can see. Verses 9-19. For the tribe of Judah and Simeon, they assigned the following cities with these names. They were assigned to the descendants of Aaron, to the clans and the Kohathites of the tribe of Levi, for theirs was the first lot. They assigned them Kiriath Arba. Arba was the father of Anak, which is Hebron, the old country of Judah, and the grazing land around it. Now they assigned the city's fields and its surrounding villages to Caleb, son of Jephunneh, as his property. So the descendants of Aaron the priest, they assigned Hebron, a refuge city for people who committed manslaughter. Libna, with its pastures, Jaffir, Eshtemoah, Hala, Debir, Ain, Judah, Beth, Shemesh, together with the grazing lands of each, 9 cities for these 2 tribes. For the tribe of Benjamin, they assigned Gibeon, Geba, Anathoth, and Almon, together with the grazing lands of each, 4 cities. All the other descendants of Aaron received 13 cities and their grazing lands. Do you find it a little interesting? Ordinarily, don't we typically think of the Levites, the priesthood, being able to partake of the offerings, and so that the priesthood are kind of passive in their income? But this says they're given not only cities, but the grazing lands. The Levites were not passive in what they made. They were raising and rearing livestock. They were just as agricultural as the rest of the tribes. They were fending for themselves. Yeah, they were given from the inheritance of the other tribes, but they were working those cities. They were working those grazing lands. Think back to Eden. At Eden, we see three different institutions. We see the institution of the Sabbath, we see the institution of the family, and we see the institution of work. Man wasn't just created to just sit back in a lawn chair and eat, but rather, man was created to tend the garden. Too often times we think of work as a consequence, as a curse of the fall. But that's not what the scripture says. Man was created to tend the garden. The curse came in having now, after sin, to work by the sweat of the brow. So that work became something that was tedious. Whereas before, it was that which man was created for. These Levites, they received their inheritance. And they are called to work the fields, to tend the cities. Verse 20. The rest of the Levites from the clans, the descendants of Kohath, received cities allotted to the tribe of Ephraim. They assigned them Shechem, a refuge city, where people who committed manslaughter in the old country of Ephraim, Gezer, Kibzan, and Beit Horon, together with the grazing lands of each four cities. For the tribe of Dan, they assigned Eltekah, Gibbethon, Ajala, and Gath-Rimmel, together with the grazing lands of each four cities. From the half-tribe of Manasseh, they assigned Ta'anak and Gath-Rimmel, together with the grazing lands of each two cities. All the other rest of the clans of the descendants of Kohath received 10 cities and their grazing lands. There are a lot of cities given to these Kohathites. The Kohathites just got the first lot. It's kind of like in the book of Acts. There's 11 apostles. And they say, we need somebody to replace Judas. We need somebody to fill the office of Judas. They give the criteria. They give the qualifications. And then they cast lots. And the lot falls to Matthias. Here, the lot falls to the Kohathites. And they get their inheritance. They get their cities first. The qualification was that they were to be part of the Levites. Qualification was that they were to be a part of the people, within the people. They would be with those who were set apart to serve God and serve people. Verse 27. From the tribe of Manasseh, they assigned to the descendants of Gershon, one of the Levite clans, Golan, Bashan, a refuge city for people who committed manslaughter. Eshterah, together with the grazing lands of each two cities. For the tribe of Issachar, they assigned Kishion, Dabaroth, Jarmuth, and En-Ganim, together with the grazing lands of each four cities. For the tribe of Asher, they assigned Bishai, Abdon, Helkath, and Rehob, together with the grazing lands of each four cities. For the tribe of Naphtali, they assigned Kadesh and Galilee, a refuge city, people who committed manslaughter, Mom, Dor, Karkon, together with the grazing lands of each three cities. Altogether, the Gershonites, according to their clan, received 13 cities and their grazing lands. Gershon is next. They received their cities. They received their grazing lands. Altogether, verse 34. For the tribe of Zebulun, they assigned the descendants of Merari the remaining Levites. Jokneam, Kartah, Giphath, and Naphtali. Together with the grazing lands of each four cities. For the tribe of Reuben, they assigned Bezer, Jahaz, Kibeah, and Bethabah. Together with the grazing lands of each four cities. For the tribe of Gad, they assigned Ramoth and Gilead, a refuge city for people who committed manslaughter. Manasseh, Heshbon, Jazer, together with the grazing lands of each four cities in all. The 12 cities were allotted to the descendants of Merari according to their clans and remaining Levite clans. Altogether, the Levites received 48 cities and their grazing lands within the possessions of the children of Israel. Each of these cities had grazing lands surrounding them. It was this way with all these cities. And did you notice how this text this morning piggybacked on last week's? Whether it was the Kohathites, the rest of the Kohathites, Gershon, or all together, within each of those areas, those clans of the Levites had not only their cities, but their cities of refuge for those who were guilty of manslaughter. Not murder. The Levites were given the responsibility of the city's refuge. And as I shared last week, those cities of refuge point to the one in whom you and me take refuge. You and me were guilty under the curse of Adam. You and me were guilty.
Rest.
verse 43. The Lord God gave Israel all the land that he had swore to give to their father. They took possession of it and lived in it. The Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he swore to their father. Not a man among their enemies stood before them, and the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. Not a single word of all the good things that the Lord had spoken to the children of Israel fell. They all came to pass. Now, when we began this book, what did we find in chapter 1? Israel was promised by God everything from the river to the sea, everything from the Euphrates to the Mediterranean. 300,000 square miles. Here in 43 through 45, we see that the people have rest, but they've only settled. They've only taken possession of a small sliver of all that God promised them. The Lord God also told them that everywhere that their foot landed would be theirs. They placed their feet where they wanted them. They didn't take everything. They could have taken all 300,000 square miles, but they settled for this little portion. This little sliver of real estate. This little parcel of land. They settled for this God's green acre. And God gave them rest. At least in this day of which Joshua wrote, God gave them rest from their enemies. Where are you going to be? Where is your rest? If the Israelites had wanted more, they would have to possess it. Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? Have your feet landed at a place where you're taking possession? There's still more that you can go for, but you've settled your feet where you are right now. If you want more, all you gotta do is possess it. Your rest is the rest of the rich. Their rest is in the land. But their rest in the land pointed toward your rest in redemption. You and me rest in the fact that Jesus died for you. You and me rest in the fact that His blood was shed for you. You and me rest in the fact that His blood cleanses, atones for every sin you've ever committed, past, present, and future. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 8 to 11. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have later spoken of another day. Therefore, a rest remains for the people of God. For whoever enters his rest will also cease from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor, therefore, to enter that rest, lest anyone fall for the same pattern of unbelief. Joshua here, in the 21st chapter, speaks of rest. He speaks of not a man among them standing. He speaks of their enemies being delivered into their hands. But the writer of the Hebrews says there's another rest. There's a rest in which you will cease from your labors. Think about that trust game youth groups sometimes do. Where one youth will stand Have his arms crossed in front of him like this, and just fall back. I recently saw an episode of Duck Dynasty where they were trying to build camaraderie, trying to build friendship, trying to build trust. And so one of them has to stand up on this platform and just fall back and trust that the rest will catch it. In salvation, what are you doing? You're falling back into the arms of Jesus. And you don't have to worry whether or not he's going to catch you, because he's already promised that he will catch you. Jesus says to Israel of his day in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavily burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy. My burden is light." Think about that yoke. And a yoke normally have two service animals. And the yoke keeps both of them in line with one another, so that one's not getting ahead of the other. Jesus calls you and me into his yoke. And his yoke is not burdensome, because he knows where you are. He knows the struggles of your heart and your mind and your flesh, because he's been there and hasn't done that. Walking with you each step of the way. He's walking with you through this God's green acre. What about you and me? What about you? Love and liberty. Paul, in speaking to the Galatians, says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. For you have been called to liberty. But don't use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh. Don't use liberty to just justify whatever you want to do, regardless of what it does to your brothers and sisters around you. But through love, serve one another. You and me are called to love, and you and me are called to liberty. And these are not opposite ends of the spectrum. These are in one yoke. See, we've got a lot of folks who claim the name of Christ who want to either fall under the banner of love or fall under the banner of liberty. But you were called to love and liberty. And if you were to take love and liberty and super glue with Gorilla Glue, you would never be able to get the separation. That's how closely related they are to one another. What about us as a local church? How do you and me as a local church here in Brazil, Ripley County, serve God and serve people? Sometimes that's going to be tough loving. We're going to have to tell people not what they want to hear, but what they need to hear. We have a message right here. Yeah, there's parts of Scripture that sound appealing. There's parts of Scripture that sound comforting. There's parts of Scripture that give you and me fuzzy wuzzies. But we're not called just to preach the appealing text. We're called to preach the appalling text as well. We have a message for Purcell's and Ripley County that is both appalling and appealing. And we must show tough love if we're going to serve God and serve people. Let's pray. Our Lord, our God, we thank you for the task to which you call us. We pray, Lord, that we would show ourselves.